Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
I mentioned at the start of the programme today, I was away for the weekend in Zurich in Switzerland. We had a great time. And the one observation that I really made, and I suppose really the theme of the weekend, we constantly said, could you imagine this in Dublin? And we said that a lot. Things around their open spaces, the incredible transport, public transport network that they have, the cleanliness. And the real wow moment for me over the weekend was on Saturday night. There was an opera performance on in the Opera House. We weren't at it. But when you walked towards the park from quite a little bit back, you could hear the incredible performance. It was being televised right out into a big open public park area, a big huge open space on massive, massive speakers. They were televising the whole event for free. And there were thousands, and I mean thousands of people just sitting out in front of the Opera House on their picnic chairs and on their picnic blankets, just enjoying the performance for free. And we just said, like, could you imagine something like this in Dublin? And some of them were there with their can of beer and others had their bottle of wine and some of them had fold up tables and little cheese boards and crisps and picnics and the whole lot. But it was just incredible to see something like this in a big, large, open space. And it did make me think, and I was telling them here in the office today when I came back, like, why don't we have more areas like this? Why don't we utilise them more? Is there more we could do? Maybe we try, maybe it doesn't happen. And I want us to try and reimagine our cities today in whatever shape or form that might take. So how can we make the most out of the public space and places that we have in Dublin, in Cork, in Limerick and in Galway? Or maybe this is why they talked about the Green Plaza idea. I know we spoke about it many, many times, but probably until I saw it, you know, borne out in reality over the weekend in Zurich, I don't know how I felt about it, but now I think it's an incredible idea. So is there more we can get from our open city spaces? 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. Simon Heaslip is the chairperson for the Galway West End Traders Association. Simon, is there more that could be made of the likes of Eyre Square and other big open spaces like that in Galway?
Oh, hi, Andrea. 100%. It's something we've been banging on about for years in Galway. It's a great city. We have so many festivals and things to entertain people. And you see it when, you know, the Galway Arts Festival is on, and it brings so much to the streets of Galway. You're going, why can't this happen more often? I guess other than the weather, which is something that puts all of us off all the time. But, you know, there's opportunities down in our little area here. We have a little park around the corner, Fotheburg Park, that is unbelievably underutilized. It has a fabulous gable end that a few years ago we painted white, and we went to the city and said, can we do movies in the park? We managed to do it a couple of times. We have one of the pubs we have, the Roshi Dove. We do a big silent disco. Mm. We took out, we had headphones, so, you know, we supplied them free gratis. And we did it as a community event and showed family-friendly movies. Now, we had to wait till the light went down. So from about 9:45 during the summer, we did them over a series of three Fridays.
Brilliant.
And they were fantastic.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we then fell afoul of red tape with the city, you know, having to do event management plans and insurance. And it just became something that was, what started out as a little community event, just became too onerous a task. And we wanted the city to take it over. But unfortunately, it never happened. They're not set up for things like that. And, you know, hopefully things are changing, but it's very slow. I was just going to say, you experienced it abroad. It's wonderful, and there's just such a lovely atmosphere at these things, and you know, there should be more of them, but there needs to be, you know, a will from the authorities to make this happen.
So in your experience, it's the county councils or somebody like that who'd have to run it because of the insurance costs with something like this.
Well, if a private operator tries to do it, it just becomes prohibitively expensive. And these things aren't, you know, as you say, the one you went to was free. So somebody paid for that, you know, the speakers, there are costs involved.
Of course, yeah.
So it's not a commercial venture, but it's a civic thing that you know should be happening. It just needs the will to be there. And I think coming out of COVID, you know, the arts is viewed a lot differently in Ireland now, and is being supported better than it ever was. Probably still not enough, but yeah, better than it was. And you know, these are the kind of things that we need to just reimagine these parks and these civic areas and what can be done with them.
The best way to describe it would be if you can imagine the Borgosh in Dublin, and in that big, you know, outside area right outside the entrance to the theatre, where, you know, it is a sort of an open pedestrianised area and all along the water. If you can imagine there that there were thousands of people sitting in freely provided picnic chairs watching whatever was, you know, whatever performance was on in the Borgosh tonight, and people were sitting on a televised screen, and you might say, well, why would they do it? Sure, people wouldn't buy tickets then, but surely it's a promotional thing. It was just incredible to see it.
Yeah, absolutely. But and it's different to seeing it live inside when you're watching on TV outside, but it's still something different to do.
Yeah.
And That's what we need these days.
Jeremy is with us from Alternative Dublin. How do you think we make more of our open public spaces, Jeremy?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Yeah, there's so many spaces that we could use. Like, for example, we could use Phoenix Park. There's the big space beside the Wellington Monument. There's Wood Quay, Dublin City Council, in Temple Bar. We have a big open air space with Ivy Gardens, Merrion Square. There's so many places. It's just so hard to commercially run any of these events. As someone who puts on events all the time, the costs are just through the roof with insurance, security and the likes. I think we need more funding to be given to event organisers, like people like myself who are going out and trying to put something on. Like, if we run an event and it fails, like, it could tank the company. Costs are so high and it's such a big risk. I really think that it needs more funding, more guidance, and kind of more public tenders for events so we can do more stuff, like, kind of all around Dublin. Like, there is a lot of people who want to do stuff. It's just the costs are so high and it's such a risk.
So is it the responsibility for this, if we want to call it civic pride or, you know, ways to promote art centres and facilities in any of our capital cities, should it be up to the local authorities then to do it? Sure, they'll tell us they haven't the funds, but should they be?
Yeah, I think it really helps with the footfall, and you're bringing people into the city and they're spending money. So they're coming into one event, then they're going to a bar, they're going to a restaurant, they're actually spending their money, they're coming into the city, they're coming into these places particularly for a reason, like an event. So the events are sort of like, they're like gateways for people to come in. So I think they are the main attraction. The likes of Fall to Ireland do amazing work now at actually helping with funding. I think the local authorities could probably do more. It'd be great if there's more access to grants and it was easier for people to apply for them. I think that's one of the main issues you have. A lot of stuff would need government support or funding just because the risks are so high for when you're running public events.
Miriam is on the line with us as well, Jeremy. Miriam Houghton is the Associate Professor in Drama and Theatre Studies at the University of Galway. Should we do more to promote the arts in this way, Miriam?
Absolutely, but I suppose what everyone's getting at there is, where does the support come from? Because the people in the arts councils or the local authorities or even the Department of Arts are doing loads. Like, they have done more in recent years since COVID than had been done in the decade previous. And so some of the recent policies for the arts that have been announced, like the basic income for the arts or the increase in budget for venues that was only announced a few weeks ago, that's transformative. The problem is getting an understanding across sort of top level of government priorities that the arts is for all quarters of society and not just for a modest arts minority, because it isn't. Everyone wants to go to these things and have these experiences, but then it has to be funded and met with the resources from different parts. So, like, when you're talking about, and I loved how you talked about Zurich and Switzerland, I kind of want to go and buy a ticket. It sounded like you
Well, make sure
almost,
you bring your bank card is all I can tell you, Maria.
It wouldn't get me that far.
Yeah.
It sounds like you had a transcendental experience, right? Which is what art always has been, you know, for thousands of years, and that you were walking down the street, you encountered this, and it took you out of your head, you know? And because you got out of your head and you didn't even do any work, you just got to experience it and feel relaxed. You saw other people relaxing. People were being nice to each other. Everyone was chilling out and enjoying being alive. Like, there's no money. You know, that's worth everything if you can get people and communities to behave like that today. Yeah. That's basically the opposite of social media. And social media has done so much damage to how we treat each other. And it sounds like it was very safe as well and very simple. You know, so it shouldn't be too much. But when you look at arts budgets or sort of the value of the arts in places like Switzerland, Germany, the Nordic countries, they're the Shangri-La. They're where we want to go. But at the moment, a lot of our policies, we would be looked at in relation to Northern Ireland, Scotland, England, you know, the UK. And in comparison to them, we're sort of way ahead. But that still leaves us sort of as the best of the bad. And
yeah,
the best of the bad doesn't make you good.
Best, yeah.
So we've made huge progress. But in terms of the experience and the scale of experience that you're talking about, it is about health and safety. It is about accessibility. It is not about a 10% uplift in Arts Council funding or local authority funding. It's a complete transformation of how funding for the arts is supported by different sectors of society and public policy, because the benefits of it go to different sectors of society and government. And until we crack that nut, we're not going to make that leap.
Okay, it did strike me. I wonder, do we not have stuff like this in Ireland because we're just such a litigious country? You know, when you hear Jeremy talking about the insurance costs and health and safety, as Simon mentioned, and red tape, like you'd have to wonder.
They can all be overcome. Sometimes when we talk about things, we just feel exhausted because it seems like it's ongoing. We saw what we could do with COVID during COVID when we put our minds to it. These things can be overcome. There is an attitude issue, and it has to be sort of top down, where it's sort of said, this is happening, so how do we get there and how do we do it well? And that's the attitude that has to be taken. But we're a small country. We can still have a national conversation. Most countries cannot have a national conversation. This is totally achievable. And we are a nation of storytellers. And we only ever seem to produce amazing artwork.
Yeah. Okay.
That's why I wanted to chat about it today.
Alan has got in touch. He says, weeks before the Lewis line opened in O'Connell Street in Dublin, they held a food fair with food trucks. It was absolutely brilliant to see O'Connell Street in such a positive light. Gar is with us in Dublin. Gar, I believe you're involved in architecture in the sporting and entertainment world. Like, is this kind of thing suited to Ireland?
Absolutely. I think one of the excuses people often put forward is that we complain about the weather, whereas the Danes say there's no such thing as bad weather, only bad clothing.
Yeah, badly dressed.
You know, the real issue is going to be proportionality. And Dublin City Council, I know last year, had a report of an ongoing feasibility study into a 500-seat venue in the city. And they're looking at this very seriously. And they already put substantial funding into festivals, and individuals and groups can apply to Dublin City Council and indeed Fall to Ireland for funding for events such as these. The difficulty is that you need to keep them at a scale, which is going to be at a local level and not attract a huge amount of people, because 400-500 people is manageable, or even in some place like Merrion Square, if you are wanting to put something on which is to be broadcast, say, from the National Concert Hall or wherever, that's manageable for a couple of thousand people. It's when you get into 4,000 to 5,000 bigger elements that you end up with the health and safety plans and the insurances, the infrastructure and the toilets. So I think a series of venues around the city at smaller scale can work very well and add huge colour to a city and huge appeal. And we have, as one of your earlier guests mentioned earlier, we have Meeting House Square, we have Dublin Castle, we have the small amphitheatre at Dublin City offices as well. So lots can happen, but I think it's a question of getting the right scale in the right locations, which is just add colour and joy for people in the city.
Not sure about other cities, according to this texter, but just look at Dublin, for instance, and the portal that you were talking about 2 weeks ago. That's an example of why we can't have anything like this in Dublin. All you need is one group who'll spoil it for everybody. If there were events like this, there's almost a guarantee there'd be antisocial behaviour. Are we being unfair, Willie? Willie White is the artistic director of the Dublin Theatre Festival.
We're being a little bit unfair. I have to say that we have due credit to the Arts Council, the department that has significantly increased their funding in the last few years, and also due credit to Dublin City Council, who do spend a lot of money on activities. They could spend more, that's for sure. In terms of grants to artists, they've just recently increased that from a very low base and one that hadn't changed in quite a few years. They obviously spend a lot of money on events they organise themselves. For example, the Luke Kelly Festival in Smithfield, that was a big success recently. But I think overall, you know, we're coming from way behind. It'll take us quite a while to catch up with Switzerland or many European countries that were richer when we weren't and that spend a lot of money on culture and have a much wider appreciation. But I think we're going in the right direction. talking to Miriam, obviously Galway Arts Festival is going to animate the city in between Race Week and the FLA in July. Cork Midsummer Festival is on at the moment. Errigal will be on later in July, Kilkenny in August. There's a lot going on already that's a mixture of free and paid events. Dublin City Centre is challenging because historically we haven't really had big open squares in which we could assemble. So the places like the amphitheatre in behind Dublin Civic Offices, where in fact actually opera performances do take place, or obviously Dublin Castle is very important for many political and cultural moments recently, and also hosts the Bram Stoker Festival that's organised by Dublin Theatre Festival. But we need to kind of put ourselves in the comfort zone of where we're happy to invest in culture, because nothing bad comes out of culture. You're talking about antisocial behaviour. Culture is absolutely pro-social. And to Miriam's point, yes, we look very good when we're compared to the funding in Northern Ireland and in the UK. But compared to European, like, you know, there are operas that spend $1 billion a year in Germany, like, we're absolutely nowhere near it. And along with that, because it's public money, along with that comes the responsibility to make sure the widest possible section of the community, of the population, gets an opportunity to participate in that. And it also begins with education as well.
Some of the listener texts, Willie, on this. One suggests we should set up a free little music community stages, just little stages in parks and things where families can go and there can be songwriters and players, maybe chilling, playing some music, but all for free. I think it'd be a lovely in a summer's evening to bring people together who can sit in the grass and bring their own food and drinks. It would actually bring a level of togetherness, according to this listener. Another texter's suggestion, the most obvious improvement needed is for the likes of events, for something like this to happen, is to just have more pedestrianised areas in the cities. But every time this is suggested, the local idiots are up in arms about not being able to drive their cars absolutely everywhere. You see, it goes back, Willie, to the point, doesn't it, 2 years ago of that the Green Plaza that was suggested in Dublin City Centre.
Yeah, I mean, people, their cars will be wrung from their cold, dead hands. I think cars are generally very bad for cities. I've experienced it being in lots of European cities where there are hardly any private cars, where there are lots of bicycles and public transport, and they're blissful. And I think if Dublin City Centre, if we could make that adjustment, if people could get out of their cars, if the retailers could stop freaking out about, you know, deliveries and, you know, could figure out a way for, like, Manhattan survives and not people aren't driving their cars around the whole time. And actually just think about how sociable, how livable, how civic a city that emphasises people rather than cars, that a lot of the time are driving through and have no business in the city.
Here's two really interesting texts, and I don't know if any of our callers have a view on this. Listener says, in other countries across Europe, each individual has personal liability insurance. So it makes it so much easier to host events because there's no insurance bureaucracy and costs involved. There's no need for excessive funding, which is then eaten up by insurance. And this listener, again, when you're talking about activities in cities and you mention insurance being cost prohibitive, speaking to an in-law from Switzerland, he mentioned that every citizen has their own personal insurance. You pay a yearly fee, just like your PRSI. It isn't expensive, but it means that the need for public liability insurance is then negated. So how do other countries manage the insurance issue? You see, that is a huge fundamental, isn't it, Willie, in all of this, or Jeremy?
Yeah, that's an interesting point. And I suppose a lot of us will be familiar, like, that in the education system, our children have to have insurance policies. There's no doubt that obviously people want to run healthy and safe events, but there's no doubt that the dead weight of high vis jackets and crash barriers weighs very heavily, particularly on people trying to organise smaller events or people starting out. And it seems to me that could be considerably simplified and people could be facilitated, because it's in the interest of those who police at these kind of activities that successful and safe events are worth it. But it's a huge burden for many people to overcome, to the point which they actually just don't do the events.
They couldn't be bothered, as an assignment said, it just becomes too difficult because there's so much red tape involved. Mick in Dublin suggests there's a stage at the Meeting House Square. He says it's never used. It's such a shame, would be ideal for something like this. Another listener says it doesn't have to just be about the arts. When I lived in New York, every summer they showed movies and giant screens in parks all over the city, free of charge. The problem in Ireland is nothing is free, and I feel that is destroying community spirit.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.